Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us this morning, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, that we can learn, Father, from this word, and have the knowledge we need and the wisdom to help others to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in, actually, the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and covering some other subjects that really be in need of covering today. Now, here in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, as we look at that first verse there, it's short, but it's letting us know that this phrase grammatically does not mortify parents, for this would mean that only Christian parents are to be obeyed. Rather, the phrase goes with obedience, to obey. That is, obey those parental instructions, whether from Christian or non-Christian parents, that are in line with the Lord's will. Or in other words, it's not against the Word of God. Here's verse 2. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. 3, then it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Honor means have inward respect and reverence for your parents. It is inadequate for children to obey parents only outwardly. They must also respect or honor them inwardly, which is the first commandment with promise. The fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verses 3 through 17, is the very first of all of God's Old Testament instructions to be given that possesses an attached promise. The promise is twofold. Honoring and obeying parents ensures a long and prosperous life upon the earth. Now, we are to honor our parents. Most, in fact, today, very few children do, because they're not taught to do it. In fact, they're not being taught much of anything that's really right or in accordance with God's word. The parents themselves don't even teach. Then they wonder why they don't do the right things. Now, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we're told not to provoke our children, to bring them to wrath or to anger by injustice treatment, loss of temper all the time, undue severity or cruelty, favoritism, suppression, sarcasm, ridicule, and misuse or abuse of authority. Nature basically means training. Here, donate spiritual education. Admonition is instruction that points out one's responsibilities and duties. For the Lord is in Greek a subjective. This indicates that behind the parents' rearing and instruction of their children stands the Lord as the chief teacher in child education. And parents do not rear children alone, or they shouldn't. In fact, most are not really raising their kids, they're just letting them grow up. And they're not teaching them anything about the Lord or about how to act or anything else. As long as they stay out of their way, that's basically about all they're concerned with. And that's not doing the children right at all. Don't give them a chance much. Now, servants, be obedient to them that, pardon me a moment, that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to man. You see, your master's there in verse 5, according to the flesh, means your human masters. Servants are to carry out their slave duties with fear and trembling. Now today in our land, thank God we don't have slaves per se, but when you are out to someone, you are to do your duties with fear and trembling. That is, with full concern to do a good job and with reverential respect for the, as the word says, masters. But we call them employers. And it goes on to tell the singleness of your heart refers to a mental disposition and attitude that renders obedience out of sincerity, not hypocrisy, as unto Christ. Explains why servants should obey masters in the manner prescribed here. Obedience renders to their masters is obedience rendered to Christ. You see, we are to be honest with all, just as if what we are doing is for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, that sixth verse there, he's talking about the singleness of heart, our sincere disposition, excludes eye service. That is duty performed only when the master is watching. But it includes doing well, doing the will of God from the heart. That is enthusiastic service coming from within and not having to become coerced by external pressure. You see, there's a lot of things in the Word of God that we don't pay a lot of attention to. We want to do things our own way. And because that is unselfish pride. Don't need the Lord Jesus. Don't need nobody. I can do it on my own. No, most usually, the right things you can't do on your own. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 7. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now this goodwill means that we've got good intentions. And the Christian servant or the employee seeks the best interest of his employer. He's wanting to give him his best because when we are the children of God, we are doing everything we do really for him. And that's the way it should be done. Now, 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The basis for the servant's good intentions toward his master is his being repented by the Lord, both in this life and in the one to come. The same good he has performed in his servant duty. Now, you see, we don't do it for that reason to receive anything back. We do it because it's right. But we know that we will receive good back from the Lord when we walk that way. Now, 9, and the masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. You see, these earthly masters, they are to behave in a reciprocal manner toward their employees also, with respect, sincerity, and careful concern. For earthly employers have a heavenly master who will judge them without partiality. You see, we all are to walk according to the ways of Almighty God. And 10 here says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you see, those two verses there are letting you and I know that finally may be rendered from now on or henceforth. The spiritual battle Christians are engaged in exists from now on until the Lord returns. There is no quarter given, no ceasefire, no temporary truce, no cessation of hostilities. From now on till the end, there is all-out war. The remainder of the verse may be paraphrased, let yourselves constantly be strengthened by the Lord, more precisely, by his mighty power. Now, put on denotes a sense of urgency, demanding immediate action. To stand as military overtures. This verb was used in classical Greek, meaning to resist the enemy and hold a critical position in battle. The wiles of the devil are the devil's strategy, Satan's carefully devised schemes and tactics against believers. That's what we need to be standing against. Now, and against wickedness in high places. 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, now, as we go through these next several verses here, telling us about the armor that we need. 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 6, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you know, the whole armor of God consists of 6 pieces. Is one, and is a knowledge of the truth of God's Word. The ancient soldier loins, or his waist, were girt about with a leather belt, which held most of the other pieces of his armor in place. And similarly, the other pieces of the Christian armor depend on are held in place by his spiritual belt, or his knowledge of the truth of Scripture. Now, 2, the breastplate of righteousness may be read the breastplate which is righteousness. It represents a holy character and moral conduct, obedience to the truth, known, produce a godly life. Now, you see, that godly life produces righteousness. 3, preparation of the gospel of peace means eagerness that comes from the gospel of peace. That is, as the Roman soldier wore special shoes, they wore a special shoe called colligate on his feet, enable him to advance against his enemy. So the Christian must have on his feet a sense of eagerness or willingness to advance against the devil and take the fight to him. Such eagerness to contend with Satan comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel gives peace to the believer, freeing him from anxiety, though he advance against such a powerful opponent. Now, you and I know we don't have to be afraid if we have on our armor in the Lord Jesus Christ. 4, the shield of which is faith means taking God at his word by believing his promises. Such trust will protect one from doubt induced by Satan. 5, the helmet of salvation. Since the readers are already Christians, they are not here urged to be saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 describes this helmet as the hope of salvation. That is the certainty, assurance of salvation. And 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Greek term rendered word is not logos, referring to the whole Word of God, but rhema, referring to certain portions are selected verses of Scripture. Now, you see, that's what the armor of God is all about. And we've just read here why you and I need it. We're told we need it in the Word, but now we also know why we need it. Now, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, praying is grammatically linked to stand in verse 14. Without prayer, God's armor is inadequate to achieve victory. Prayer is indispensable and always means on every occasion. That in when Satan attacks in the Spirit signifies that with the Spirit's help, such prayer for divine aid is to be made. Watching thereunto means being vigilant in this very matter of prayer. They are to pray not just for themselves, but also for all saints. Spiritual combat is both an individual and cooperative matter. Now, Nineteen, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. 21, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. 22. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. 23. Peace be to the brother, and love with faith from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And he ends this chapter with amen. You see, Paul, he seeks their prayers in his behalf, even, that he may boldly or plainly make known the gospel and speak it boldly as it ought to be preached. And you see, this is what we are supposed to be doing. I don't need to stand and take several days out of the week to make one service that is going to tell you stories that most of the service don't even pertain to the Word of God. And that's what most are doing today, for they want to keep you happy and keep the money coming in. But that's not doing you any good, as you're hearing in his word. I know I'm talked about. I know this, because I will give you the truth of God's word. I don't walk around no subject or no one. Because you see, that don't help. And they are those out there that are looking for a better way of life. And it takes this word of Almighty God in order to give them that kind of life. We have now come to the end of chapter 6. We're going to stop here for this morning and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for times that we can come together, that we have a way set up, Father, that whether we are together or even apart, we can communicate with each other. We can study together through the internet, Father, through the technology that you have given to mankind. And I'm thanking you for this technology, Father, to help me to reach others that I would not be able to reach otherwise. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. Peace to them, Father, and that all of the killing stops, and that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, we may not be right now at war with anyone else. Father, we are spiritually at war with those that are evil, that are sitting in our government, bringing evil upon this land and unto the people, making them accept things, Father, that is against you and against the world. Now, Father, help us to remove them from office and to replace them with those that are walking in righteousness, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, loves your people, loves this country. And that will work with us, Father, to put this country back on the foundation which it was founded. That being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I do pray for all of our saints, wherever they are, that the Holy Spirit will keep them safe. Keep them in health and help them to grow stronger and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for my prayer list, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue Branson, for Debbie and Daryl, for Courtney and Shane, for my wife and myself, and for all of our families, because we all have family members, Father, that are not living rightly. May the Holy Spirit work with them and work with us, Father, and help them to realize they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that they will come to Him, Father, and repent and start their life new. Heaven go home. Now, Father, keep us all in health through this day. Keep us safe. And help us as we go about things that we need to do, Father. and help us to always remember you through the day. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Back into your word. Now, Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. I pray you have a good day with Christ, and he'll walk with you. Have a great, great day. And I pray to see you this evening at 6 p.m.